The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
It does show the sort of strain that the market is under this winter.
It's very rare to hear the chief economist of the Bank of England being so frank about Brexit.
I think that what's more problematic for policy in the UK is following these basics so that people make decisions on the basis of the full picture.
Stephen, I would like to have a small rant.
Oh, just a small one. That's a relief.
You're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics. I'm Ewan Potts.
And I'm Caroline Hepke. Open to business, open for business. I think UK politicians are having a bit of a fight over this catch-all phrase, trying to get the business seal of approval. They've been doing it at Davos.
Yeah, they're all there, aren't they? You can see why Labour are excited to do this. They want to be out there meeting business leaders, proving that they are the party of business, and they're, you know, they've left the Corbyn era behind them. And I guess for the UK government, I guess the UK has something to prove after all those years and years of terrible headlines on the global stage.
Well, look, you have to just look at Bruno Le Maire, the French finance minister, totally blunt. Brexit has been a historical mistake for the UK. Olaf Scholz saying he's still sad about the UK decision to leave the EU.
Yeah, I mean, Brexit has generated a lot of bad headlines for the UK, hasn't it? And you know, we're struggling through here, but on the world stage, I think the government wants to say that, you know, things are okay, and please come here.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the business secretary Grant Shapps has been speaking to Bloomberg's editor at large Francine Lacroix in Davos in Switzerland, and talking about what his message is. The answer perhaps won't surprise you.
The UK very much open for business, attracting record levels of investment. We just saw PwC come out with a report this week that says that the UK is the third most investable country in the world. They're saying more bosses want to come and invest in the UK than almost anywhere else. And that was the message I was delivering to the Confederation of British Business, really kind of getting across this idea that we are open for business and we want to scale up Britain.
What kind of investment are you trying to attract? Because a lot of the narrative I hear in the corridors is like, is the UK in a more stable place now?
Well, it's definitely politically more stable. Obviously, we went through some slightly choppier waters, I think it's fair to say. But it's completely stable. Rishi Sunak has set out his top five priorities for this year, and they include growth, which is why I came to flesh that out here in Davos. Look, you've got a country that has one of the world's only $3 trillion tech sectors. There's only America, China, and the United Kingdom. So a lot of that will be in tech, AI, pulling together things like our amazing university sector, but not just that. Culture, many other areas that the UK has real strengths in.
And have you actually had commitment from international companies in putting more money for 2023? And is that also thanks to cheaper pound?
Well, I think, of course, the pound has strengthened somewhat now, it should be
somewhat.
Said. I think a lot of these investments are long term, but I've been talking to companies who are, for example, building amazing renewable energy resources in the UK. So the UK, people won't know this. People even in the UK won't know this. But we have the world's world's biggest offshore wind farm. And we have the world's second biggest, and third biggest, and fourth biggest.
Bloomberg viewers know that.
Bloomberg, of course, Bloomberg would be all over it. But most people won't be aware. And actually, that's because we've been investing for years, and I've met a lot of people here who want to do even more. So the next set of wind farms are going to be the size of 7 football pitches put together in a single turbine, and 300 of the turbines next to each other. That's real scale, and that's why we're producing more renewable energy, I think, than any other nation in Europe, and certainly the world's biggest wind farms.
Are you concerned that actually Labour are slightly dominating with Keir Starmer, the head of the Labour Party, and also the Shadow Chancellor here, trying to also attract business? Are they the next party for business?
No, not really, for two reasons. One, you know, we are, you know, of course, welcome democracy, that's good, it spurs us all on. But, you know, in the end, myself as business secretary and my colleague from the cabinet, Kemi, who is the trade secretary, we are the ones in power, right? So we have the ability to actually do things. Secondly, and no disrespect to Sir Keir Starmer, but it's not very long ago that he sat in Jeremy Corbyn's cabinet, the extreme left-wing leader of the Labour Party, and was telling us that he believed everything that Jeremy Corbyn stood for, and that was mainly to trash business. So it's an incredible sort of, you know, conversion if he is here, and I think business is still rather wary of that.
You think, as we're hearing otherwise, actually, that he is trying to, you know, lure business in preparation
I'm sure he's very convincing. He's a lawyer, right, by trade, right, and he'll pick up a brief. And he'll take that brief and he'll turn to it and he'll deliver it just like any barrister or a lawyer, in his case, can. So I'm sure he's very convincing, but I'm not sure if he was able to stand at the last election under the banner of Jeremy Corbyn, who was content to destroy business. And actually, when him and his chancellor came here once, Corbyn's chancellor, they came here to slate British business. You know, Sir Keir Starmer sat in that cabinet, applauding it.
But the polls are not in your favour, sir. Would it not be better that both parties, actually both main parties, are pro-business?
Well, look, I'm very, very happy for...
don't know what happens in 2 years.
I'm very, very happy for all of us to be pro-business. We are all always have been. We've always been. You know, I started my imprinting company 32 years ago when I was 21 years of age. I'm probably the first business secretary for quite some time who actually came from a business background. You know, that's an experience I've had. I think that it's really important that any government or governments are pro-business. Yep. And so, of course, I mean, to be welcomed. I would just ask whose heart's really in it.
So that was Grant Shapps there speaking to Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix.
Yeah, interesting that this Tory attack that, you know, Keir Starmer is very left-wing at heart. He was by Corbyn's side. I wonder if this is going to stick, because, of course, you know, Keir Starmer was part of Jeremy Corbyn's team. But I just feel like that is sort of yesterday's news. Mm-hmm. And Keir Starmer has done enough stuff now to position the Labour Party as a very different party. So I wonder if this attack is going to have any legs.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you hear one top executive who told Bloomberg, no name revealed, that actually the double act of Starmer and his shadow chancellor, Rachel Reeves, surprised to the upside. Speaking of which, Rachel Reeves has herself in Davos, also managing to have a bit of a catch up with Francine Lacroix. Some on the left of the party might have found their leader going to the elite gathering distasteful. Rachel Reeves said she didn't agree.
It's really important for Keir and me to be here to bang the drum for Britain and to say loud and clear, under a Labour government, Britain will very much be open for business. There's nothing that an incoming Labour government can achieve without business playing its part, creating the jobs and the investment that we want to see in Britain.
Are business listening?
We've had an incredibly receptive response from business today and during our time here in Davos. Many businesses, many investors, as you well know, were shaken by the events of last year and the economic turmoil with the fall in the pound, the rising in borrowing costs, the withdrawal of all those mortgage products. And they want to know from Labour that our plans are built on a rock of financial and economic responsibility, and they are, but also that there is a plan for growth and a deliverable plan for growth, because one of the reasons why Britain has been so uniquely exposed to shock after shock, whether it is the COVID pandemic, Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine, the cost of living crisis, is because our economy has not grown, has not had the productivity over the last decade or so.
Given all of the turmoil that we had in UK politics over the last 8 months or so, have business leaders told you that they see Labour now as the party for business?
what Labour want to say to business, that we are proudly pro-business. And as I say, we want to work in partnership with business to unblock some of those things that are discouraging investment in the UK and holding us back as an economy. And that's why we're putting forward our plans, for example, to make Britain the best place to start and grow a business. The review done for Labour by Lord Jim O'Neill, our Green Prosperity Plan to help Britain be a global leader in some of the industries of the future, from green hydrogen to small modular reactors to floating offshore wind, and also to fix some of the mess in the government's Brexit deal, which we know is discouraging some businesses, particularly smaller businesses, from exporting and holding us back as a country.
So back home, there are strikes rife in the UK. Are you worried that this will just last on unless they get fair wages or higher wages, even if it's not what they ask, at least much higher than they have now?
Anyone in business knows that disputes are only resolved through negotiation and discussion, and also a building back of trust. And that trust between the government and so many public sector workers has been undermined by the way they've been treated. You know, a couple of years ago, we were all in Britain standing on our doorsteps clapping the nurses. And the government just this week introduced into Parliament legislation that will make it easier to sack nurses if they take industrial action. That is no way to treat key public sector workers. Labour wouldn't be doing that. And the risk is that that sort of legislation to make it easier to sack public sector workers is only going to make these disputes worse. It's not going to resolve the problems.
We understand that the government will hold off putting tax cuts in place at the spring budget. Where do you stand on tax cuts?
Well, since the last general election in December 2019, we've had more than 20 tax rises from the Conservatives. And they've become a high tax party because they've become a low growth party. And because the money is not coming in through a growing and prosperous economy, they're having to resort to tax increases. I want to grow the economy so we can keep taxes as low as possible, whilst also having money to ensure that our schools and our hospitals are functioning properly. But we saw last year, you can't make unfunded tax cuts. You're not going to get away with it. So look, the government have got to act within the fiscal constraints that exist in Britain and elsewhere. I would like to see lower taxes on working people, but you've got to grow the economy if you want to do that.
Well, that was Shadow Chancellor Rachel Reeves speaking to Bloomberg at Davos. Yeah, the reception seems to be pretty good for Labour, didn't it? And you do have to wonder, though, of course, when business leaders feel that they look at the opinion polls and they see that another party might be coming into government. Of course, there is a natural tendency to then kind of chuck their lot in with the other side. So I think you have to be a little bit cautious about people people saying, oh, yes, business in favour of Labour now. I think it's kind of just makes sense, doesn't it, to be in with the winning side.
Yes, of course. Look, for the first time in ages, I heard somebody runs a big business, a sizable investment vehicle in the biotech space, talking about it was a personal donation, but how he had donated money to the Labour Party. And he was explaining why he had done that. And in past years, quite some time ago, he donated to Tories. So, yes, you know, business do want to be on the right side and want to be engaged with whoever might be in number 10 and number 11.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, It's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers, they're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Now, with consumer confidence plunging and retail sales at a miserable December, it is easy to only see the negatives when it comes to the UK economy.
But just earlier this morning, I was speaking to Bloomberg senior UK economist Dan Hansen, and he was actually saying that the economic data since the start of this year has been overwhelmingly positive. The surprise to GDP, for example, at the end of 2022. There's no doubt, though, that inflation, the cost of living, they are still huge issues for voters. Joining us now to discuss this and other topics, the Liberal Democrat Treasury spokeswoman, Sarah Olney. Sarah, great to have you here on Bloomberg UK Politics. Look, on the big picture economy, things actually, weirdly, may not be as bad as we had expected at the end of last year. Things could turn around quite swiftly. What do you think?
Hi there. Good morning. Well, I mean, obviously, any good news is welcome at the moment. But I think, broadly speaking, you know, we've had inflation figures out this week. It's still at 10.5%, which is one of the highest rates I've seen in my lifetime. And that's having a very real impact on everybody's everyday lives. The cost of living, the cost of, you know, the cost of food in the supermarket, the cost of their fuel bills is still very, very high. And I think, you know, we're seeing lots of wrangles in the public sector, most of all about wage rises. So I think there's an awful lot that people in their everyday lives are still seeing is going to cause them a huge problem over the next year, couple of years. And indeed, we know from the Bank of England that there's likely to continue to be an elevated, mortgage payments for quite a long time to come. And that's going to cause huge problems for households up and down the country.
Is there a case we made that things are looking a lot better than they were a few months ago? Pay rises in the private sector are running at about 7% now. Inflation looks like it's going to come down rapidly. Could the economy turn out to be okay in 2023?
I think we'd definitely settle for okay, wouldn't we? I mean, I agree with you that some of the signs are perhaps more positive than we might have thought. And I think one of the things, of course, is we've actually had a milder winter today, and the last days notwithstanding, we've had a milder winter than we thought. And that therefore has meant that demand for gas has been a bit lower than we might have expected. And that's meant that not just the pressure on households, but also the pressure on the government finances when they were, with their plans to kind of underwrite some of the household and business energy bills has been less than we thought. So there's a definite positive there. But I mean, I think long term, what we're looking at is still the government has no real plans for growth. It's hard to see where economic growth is going to come from. And ultimately, that's what we need more than anything in terms of improving household standard of living, the tax take as the nation overall. And I think it's interesting, obviously, you've been reporting from Davos this morning. Yeah. But I know when I'm out and about speaking to business groups in this country, one of the things that they're really worried about is how the UK has gradually over the last few years become a less attractive option for investors, partly because of the huge sort of political upheaval we've seen, particularly over the last 18 months, but going right back to Brexit. And there's a failure out there in the international finance community to really understand what it is that Britain wants to do now that it's left the European Union. I think that's probably shared by a lot of people in this country, to be honest. And I think, you know, unless and until the government can set out a credible plan for growth that people can buy into, we're going to see continued depressed levels of investment. And as long as we have that, it's hard to see how the economy can recover.
Okay. So then talking about Davos, we just heard from our interview with Rachel Reeves, who was there. Also, Grant Shapps were there speaking to Bloomberg. Starmer basically was introduced at some of the events at Davos as the likely next prime minister. So if you say there's no plan for growth, is that equally true of the Labour Party?
Well, I can't tell you that I have examined the Labour Party's economic plans in detail. I'm not here to speak for the Labour Party. What I can say about the Liberal Democrats is that we think there are three things that are really, really important in terms of getting the UK economy back on track. Above all, we need to get a much better relationship with Europe. We need to smooth out some of these issues we're experiencing. We need a resolution to the Northern Ireland Protocol, above all. But we really do need to be building those closer relationships with the European Union. And I'm not ashamed to say that Liberal Democrats would very much want us, at least as a start, to rejoin the customs union and take away some of that, the massive bureaucratic hurdles that we've created for ourselves. We need to invest heavily in the green economy, and we need to set the right political and strategic priorities in terms of getting to net zero. I know that that's a massive barrier for lots of industries who are really, really keen to make the switch, but don't have, a clear view of what it is that how the government plans to get there. And more than anything, we need to be much more coordinated in our approach to the economy. We need a proper industrial strategy that thinks about some of the trade-offs that are going to be needed. So that's what the Liberal Democrats' plan for growth is.
Now, you've done some interesting research digging out some figures on the frankly massive losses from the COVID support scheme. HMRC, though, have said that chasing losses from the scheme is not value for taxpayers' money. Do you disagree with them about that?
Well, I do. I mean, the numbers that we've uncovered, this was part of an NAO report that we later looked at in the Public Accounts Committee that I'm a member of, is it was 42 billion of uncollected taxes last year. And I don't think there's anybody who would argue that couldn't make a significant difference to, I mean, certainly, for example, public sector pay, which is causing, the disputes around which are causing such problems at the moment. So I don't agree with them at all that it's not a good use of money. I do accept that HMRC have enormous pressures on their resources. And certainly what I found from tabling some parliamentary questions is that one of the reasons that they haven't been able to collect all the tax that's owing is because their staff have been redeployed to deal with issues arising from Brexit, for example, or the huge amounts of fraud that we saw around a lot of the schemes that were launched to support the economy through COVID. And these are the direct result of government decisions. And I think it's frustrating that HMRC staff are sort of clearing up government messes rather than focused on collecting the taxes.
Yeah, but I remember really clearly, though, watching Jim Harrott, who's the chief executive of HMRC, who rarely speaks publicly, frankly, and he made a rare appearance at the start of the pandemic saying that it was absolutely obvious that this massive amount of money that was going to be pumped towards individuals and businesses in the UK was going to be liable to massive fraud. Not sure he used the word massive, but the issue is, and this was recognised at the time as well, is that it was necessary in order to prop up the UK economy in the face of a pandemic. It was about speed. It was about getting the cash out as fast as possible. Don't think anyone was arguing against that at the time either.
Well, I think the point, I don't remember that specific thing that he said, but certainly what we've found in the Public Accounts Committee since then is that because speed was prioritised and getting money out of the door, essential checks were basically bypassed. And we found so many examples of businesses that didn't properly exist, being able to claim like very large amounts of money through either the bounce back loans or the furlough scheme. Just a bit, 24 hours, slow things down by 24 hours and just run some of these businesses that were making these claims through some basic checks, we could have saved considerable amounts of money. So, but that's what I'm saying. Now that staff are being allocated to trying to track down where some of this money has gone, we won't get quite a lot of it back. But, there were some simple things that could have been done that weren't done that could have limited some of these losses.
On the wider political situation, Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer got a pretty good reception at Davos, I think it's fair to say. George Osborne says he's comfortable with the idea of Starmer and Reeves in power. Are you?
Well, I think what the Liberal Democrats feel is that we are very we want to get rid of this Conservative government. They're not managing the economy. They've crashed the economy. They've created a situation where millions of people are having to pay more on their mortgages. They are they've lied. They've broken the law. They haven't paid their taxes. And when they've been in power, all they've done is suppress your right to strike, suppress your right to vote, suppress your right to protest. We really want to get rid of this Conservative government. We will be working very hard in those seats that we think we can win, all of which have Tory MPs, to try and increase the number of Liberal Democrats in Parliament next time. Obviously, we hope to have an influence on whatever future government gets formed. But I think our priority is to make sure that that's not a Conservative government.
OK. A last thought, if you don't mind. We had a kind of shock political resignation yesterday, didn't we? The youngest ever Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, at the time she was the youngest female leader, stepping down due to what she said, not having enough in the tank either to keep going or to seek re-election. I mean, lots of threads around this. It made a huge impact. Is it burnout? Was it due to abuse that she got in office? She said no. I just sort of wanted, as we've got you on the programme, Sarah, to ask your view as a woman in politics. What did you take away from that?
Well, I mean, it's fascinating, isn't it? And I suppose my first impression was if only some of our recent political leaders had had that same degree of self-knowledge to know that their time had come to step down. But I mean, I think it's interesting, and obviously lots of people are thinking, well, is it gendered? Is it because she's a woman that she's made that decision? And obviously, she's got very young children, and it's something I reflect on a lot because I have children as well, and you're always wondering, you know, are you striking the right balance? But she's always been done things in a very distinctive style. And I think, we're just seeing a continuation of that. I don't follow New Zealand politics closely, but there's obviously a strong suggestion that her party are going to lose power at the next election. And it could just be that she has made that decision that maybe they'll have a better chance if there's a different leader. But again, that's a level of self-knowledge that our political leaders aren't capable of. So all I can say is I admire her for doing things her way, as I always have done.
Sarah, thank you so much for being with us. Yes, I think it's a very interesting event that got a lot of people thinking about what it means to be a politician, a career in politics. Yes, was it just the political calculation influencing that decision? Sarah Olney, the Liberal Democrat Treasury spokeswoman, thank you so much for your time.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, let's face it, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. There's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.